These things I command you, that you love one another. So,
I forgot my microphone. So we know that it is a commandment of Jesus that we love one another, because we just read it twice that he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. These things I command you. And we talked last week, Jesus never said anything more than once by accident. He didn't forget what he was saying. He didn't say, oh, I already said that. I wish I wouldn't have said that again. He knew what he was doing, and he said this for a reason. So look in back a chapter, a couple of chapters in John 13, 34 and 35. And here he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Now, why was it a new commandment? Me and my mom were talking about this, and she said, I believe because Jesus' kind of love was different than the people had ever experienced before. And so it was a different kind of love, to love like he loved. So he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Here, he's reiterating this again. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So Jesus said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples. If you love God, well, we know that we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he said, people will know that you're my disciple if you love one another. And here he is talking to his disciples. So we're talking tonight about love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, we are God so loved the world, and the Bible says that we're supposed to love our enemies. But right here, we're talking about loving our brothers and sisters. So I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Can I have one of those papers? I see it. Sorry, thanks. Okay, so look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Because a lot of times when we think about loving one another, we think of love, and maybe not you guys in here, but a lot of people think of love as an emotion. We think of something as ushy-gushy, or, you know, how you feel towards people. Love is so much deeper than all of that. Love is a choice. But love comes from God. The Bible says that his love, like we talked about last week, has been poured out in our hearts. And in order to love like this, like we're going to look at, we cannot do it in our own strength. We have to receive from him and then allow him to pour his love out through us. But verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first few verses go through all the things that you can do, but if you don't do them with love, then they don't accomplish anything. They don't profit you anything. They don't mean anything. And then he gets to the definition, some of the ways that love, what love looks like. And it says in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. So it is long-suffering. It is patient. Love is kind. And this is where we're looking at our paper here. Love does not envy. Now, envy causes us to look at what people have instead of who they are. And that is one of those things that it's very easy to fall into envy when we see other things that other people have. But we are not loving people when we are looking at what they have instead of who they are. And so envy causes us to be focused on what we don't have and on what they do have. Notice, love doesn't brag. It doesn't inflate. Now, this says that I put it that way because it says love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. And so I looked these up in the Greek, what they mean. So it's not puffed up. It doesn't inflate itself. It doesn't act unbecoming, or it doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own way. Self-seeking. We have to let God teach us continually how to put others first, because by nature, we are taught to, you know, protect ourselves and provide for ourselves. And so we have to learn how to not seek our own and how to seek for other people first. Jesus was a servant, and it's often said those who are so focused on self expect others to do for them, so they're often disappointed. Selfish people are often frustrated. Because the truth is, if everybody is selfish, then nobody's focusing on anybody else. And hence, everybody's always frustrated. Because, you know, you're frustrated at me because I'm not doing for you. And I'm frustrated at you because you're not doing for me. And it's a vicious circle and cycle. So, we have to put others' feelings above ourselves, above our own. And think about, is what I want consistently more important? Then I am seeking my own, and that's not love. I'm not loving other people if I'm consistently thinking about what I want, what's convenient for me, what's best for me. Love isn't easily provoked. Now, this is one of those things that, listen, different personalities have different struggles. But every personality has its weaknesses and has its issues and has its struggles that we do not get a free pass because we are a certain personality. Well, you don't understand. I have a temper. You need to give that temper to Jesus and let him change it. We don't get a free pass because we happen to feel this way, you know, or because we were raised a certain way, or because our personality is a certain way. We have to surrender all of that to Jesus. Jeremy, whenever we were in praying with the youth, he was bringing out 2 Corinthians 5:17 to the youth on Wednesday night. And he said, it says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he was telling the teenagers, that means we sometimes hold on to these things, but this is who I am. And he told them, the scripture says, all things become new. So if it is not Christ-like, then we have to let go of that. Because the scripture says, all things become new. And we have to begin to let him make us look more like himself. But if we're so busy holding on to, but this is who I am, but this is how I've always been, but this is how I've always responded and how I've always reacted, then we won't let him change us. And change is a part of the process. Become new. All things are becoming new as I am surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Now, the awesome thing to me is that God, somehow, as I have served the Lord, he has changed me and is continually changing me, because I still need changing in a lot of areas. But he is continually changing me and yet maintaining who he created me to be. Rick and I have been married 21 years, and I have watched both of us change. And yet, I am still by nature not exactly like him, and he's not like me. We're different people. We were created different, and opposites attract, and God did that for a reason. But God has helped me to become, in areas that I was too much like Shannon and not like Jesus, God is pushing me to become and look more like Jesus. The areas where there was too much Rick, God is pushing him to become more like Jesus. And that is what Christianity, that's what love is. So, love isn't easily provoked. And I say this because I realize certain personalities struggle. Maybe if you just get frustrated a little bit easier. That doesn't mean that it's okay. That means that's something that we need to give to Jesus. Amen. Love doesn't get to make an excuse because it's tired, or because it's having a bad day, or because I don't like that person, or because they get on my nerves. Love isn't easily provoked, this says. Love doesn't think evil. Love doesn't rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. And then when we get down here, love bears, which means endures patiently all things. That we have to. And this dependence thing, I'm telling you, it is the most wonderful thing to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. It was when I first started and God started taking me on this journey of just wanting to be more dependent on him. Honestly, I feel like it was so hard because I was like, all of a sudden, all the decisions that were decisions that I got to make myself before, all of a sudden, I was trying to surrender all of these decisions to the Lord Jesus. And already, I am an indecisive person by nature. So all of a sudden, I was like, I don't know what to do, you know, honestly. I mean, I felt like, God, is that you speaking to me? And I don't want to miss you. And is this you? But the beautiful thing is, as I have walked through this, and as I have surrendered more and more up to him, I am realizing, man, so many times we are stressed and we don't have to be. We are worried about things that we don't have to be worried about. Because as we open up our lives to the Holy Spirit and allow him in more, it becomes more of a reflex to rely on him. And something that I've learned too is that as we walk through those times when he asks us to trust him, many times our faith in him is being built in those times of testing. And we feel like, God, I feel like I am failing miserably because I am trying so hard to trust you, but I don't feel very much like I'm trusting you. But if you keep walking and you keep reading your scriptures and you keep praying, what happens is your trust is being built. Faith is like a muscle, and as we stretch that muscle and God stretches us in areas, then what's amazing is the next time we come to that same thing, we are that much quicker to look to Jesus instead of stressing out. We find that our reflex becomes to go to him and to not be anxious and to seek his will and to trust that he is going to come through for us. And so he builds our trust in that way. But in order to endure patiently all things, we have to look to him. Now that word means also to cover with silence. 1 Peter 4, let's look in 1 Peter 4. Because 1 Peter 4:8 says love covers a multitude of sins. And we're going to balance this in just a minute because scripture always, there's balance in scripture. But it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. All of these things we do as we are surrendered to Jesus and as we allow him to pour his love into our lives and we reach out with his love to other people. So it says love covers a multitude of sins. So when somebody frustrates us, because let's face it, we all have people that get on our nerves even within the church. We have people that maybe I do not feel all of these things toward them, but that's okay because love is not a feeling. Love is a choice where I allow the Lord Jesus to love through me. And the easiest way, and this is going to sound strange maybe, but the easiest way to love people is to look at Jesus instead of looking at them. If you will focus your attention on Jesus, then you begin to see people through him instead of looking at them. Because when we look at other people, maybe even brothers and sisters in Christ, and we look at them with our own human eyes, we see the things that we don't like. We see the things that frustrate us or get on our nerves. We see the areas where they're weak. The sad thing is, often the things that people frustrate us about other people the most are the very things in our own lives. It's amazing that we can be frustrated at other people for doing things that we struggle with ourselves. But often that's how it is. And so, love covers a multitude of sins as we look at Jesus. So I challenge you, if you have people that you find it difficult to love, instead of looking at the person and focusing on them, focus instead on Jesus and ask him to let you see them through his eyes. Say, Jesus, just like looking through Jesus. Jesus, I just want to see with your eyes. I just want to see people how you see them. And then when you're focusing on him, then you don't get as frustrated with the people because you're looking at him. And then he can pour his love through you and you can love other people with that love. Now, it also says, now this, I want to balance this because that does not mean love covers a multitude of sins. Doesn't mean that there's no place for correction because we know that there is a place for correction. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. But when we really love people, then the motivation for the rebuke changes from I need to get this off of my chest because you are on my last nerve to I love you and the Lord wants me to help you grow in this area. So I'm going to say this to you out of a love, not because I need to vent, not because I'm on a high horse and I have things that I need to say to you, not because I know that, you know, I am wiser than you and I just need it, but because God wants me to share this with you. And because I love you, I want you to grow in these areas. Open rebuke is better than secret love. The truth is we all need to be rebuked at some point. And so this needs to be a part. It is a part of love. But like I said, the motivation changes to where instead of saying it for you, you're saying it for them. And you're saying it after it is bathed in prayer and after your heart is set by the Lord Jesus and your love, you're filled with love that comes from him. Now, these last things, I believe, is talking about our love with God because it says believes all things. And that word in the Greek means to entrust. And it says especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. In fact, this scripture talks about this scripture with Jesus. And I looked it up and on my Bible app, when it gives you, you can look up that word that is for believes. And in my Bible app, it'll only give you 100 references. And of the 100 references, not one of them was talking about a person believing another person, except for every one of them talked about believing Jesus, except for when it talked about believing John and the Baptist and the words that he was talking and the writings that Moses wrote, which were still pointing to Jesus. And so when it says believes all things, this, I believe, is talking about loving and believing our relationship with God. We have to believe and entrust all things. In fact, John 2:24 says that Jesus did not commit himself to them. When all these people started believing in Jesus, it says that he did not commit himself to them. That word commit is the same word that's listed here. He did not believe them. He did not entrust his spiritual well-being to people because people are fickle. We cannot entrust our spiritual. When people fall, it is a terrible thing. When someone who, you know, a pastor falls into sin and things like that happen. And please pray for us, because I know that the enemy does attack those in leadership. So please pray for us. But the truth is, none of you should be entrusting your spiritual, your belief needs to be in Jesus, not in me and Rick. It needs to be in Jesus. And so John 2:24, when it says Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men, this is the place where we put our belief in Jesus, not in other people, in Jesus. Hopes all things. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is the substance. That means the setting under or the support of things hoped for. In our love, we have to maintain our hope. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the enemy works so hard to steal our hope. Because if he can steal our hope, then he can steal our faith. We have to keep our hope and our love focused on the Lord Jesus and on God. Love endures all things. So our love for God should believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. And that means I was telling the couple that's in the new members class this morning, because I just wanted them to understand so that when they hear, we were talking about the four cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God, and one of those is divine healing. And I told them that 2 years ago, my dad passed away of cancer, and we believed in healing, and we still believe in healing. And I told them, this is the thing my dad has said, and I still believe it, because I feel like we have come full circle back to strongly believing in divine healing. Because my dad used to always say, you do not base what you believe on somebody else's experience. You don't base it on whether or not Aunt Susie got healed, because your experience and your belief will constantly be changing based on the experiences of other people. You base what you believe on what the scripture says. Amen. And I don't understand everything about healing. I don't stand up here saying that I do, but I believe that my dad still would want us to preach healing. He would want us to say, the scripture says, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. And so we have to believe all things. We have to hope all things. We have to endure all things. And we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Because as we keep our eyes focused on him, then we are able to love other people. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, we aren't going to be able to love other people. If I take my eyes off of Jesus and I'm not loving him, I am not going to be able to love people in the church the way that God would have me to, because I'm going to be basing it on my human love, and my human love changes based on how I feel. So we have to keep our eyes on Jesus instead of people. We cannot do it on our own, but that's okay, because we weren't asked to. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things by myself in my own strength. No, through Christ who strengthens me. That's why it is so important that we become more and more dependent on him. More and more willing to say, Jesus, I cannot do this on my own, but I trust you. That you, your word is true, and that you said that I can do all things through Christ, through you who strengthened me. And Jesus, if you're telling me to do this, then you will give me the strength to do it. And so, I just want to ask you, if you guys will put up an I worship. And I gave out these because I think it's very important that we put into practice, because we could talk about this and we could all go home and say, well, you know, maybe I should try to love a little bit better. But we're going to take it a step further. And I want you to, as this song plays, I ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to point out some things in your life. And I did this earlier today, and I'm going to do it again, because David said, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. If this is how we're supposed to be loving, then we need to offer the Holy Spirit the opportunity to show us the areas where we are not loving like this. And so as this song plays, I just ask you, as you just read over this, just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, point out the areas where I need to work on. And I want you, this is important, I want you to think specifically about a family member, because often we don't treat, like, and this is especially in immediate family, like with brothers and sisters and, you know, children and parents. My children are Christians. They should be loving each other, loving their brothers and sisters like Jesus loved them, is what the Bible says. And so think about that, a family member, and are you living that? And then think about somebody who is a brother or sister, but maybe gets on your nerves a little bit. Maybe it's not easy to love them naturally. And ask the Lord to show you, are you doing these things? And if you're not, don't make excuses and don't get condemned. Just present it to the Lord and ask God to forgive you and say, Lord Jesus, will you help me to do better in these areas? See, because then we take what God is telling us to do and then we invite him to begin to change us in those areas so that we can grow. So I just want to challenge you to do that as this song plays. And then we will close in prayer.